Hi, welcome to The Bridge Podcasts. We hope you enjoy the following message. For more information on all that's happening at The Bridge Church, please visit www.bridge-church.com. If you got to 1 p.m. on Monday and it was game over, then I just want to encourage you, don't give up. Get back on it, all right? Everybody, just don't despair. Get back on it. I know that fasting is not an easy thing to do, but I just want to encourage you this morning, you know, get back on it. Go again. Pastor Bernie's always saying that. Go again, go again. So we've had a few laughs this week with certain things, and some people have said, you know, that was it. I didn't even see out the morning. I said, don't worry. Go again. Just go again. And, you know, we know people have been dreaming about food in the middle of the night and all of this stuff. Well, do you know what? This too shall pass, the word says. So it'll be okay. Amen. So, because sometimes we get very discouraged by a loss. We suffer a loss. It's like, oh man, you know, we can even can produce a defeated mentality. And we were sharing this at men's camp about loss. And I don't know about everyone here, but usually there's a certain place where you do most of your thinking and you get a lot of revelation in your life. For me, sometimes it's just in the shower or whatever, because you know what, you're going through the motions and so the Holy Spirit, wherever it is or wherever you are, these thoughts that the Holy Spirit drops into your spirit, you should write them down, journal them. Meditate on them, because they're going to become your messages for the future. They're going to become, they're actually going to be the power nuggets in your life. And so sometimes not everything comes through your Bible study and set apart time. Sometimes the Spirit drops things into your heart in the middle of the day when you're cooking the dinner or having a shower or whatever, washing the car, whatever you're doing. And this is something that dropped into my spirit. Loss and defeat are totally different. They're not the same. Loss is not the same as defeat. And I know that I have suffered loss, and I will suffer loss in my life. And some of that loss will be extremely painful. Some of the loss may be less so, but it's never pleasant to lose, is it? It's never pleasant to lose. So if I let my losses defeat me, that's another matter entirely. That's far more dangerous if I let my losses defeat me, produce a defeated spirit in me. Because a defeated heart or a defeated spirit, that's a very terminal thing. Once you have a defeated spirit, it's more difficult to rise up. Amen? So this is a lot to do with our attitude. If we've got a defeated heart, it says, you know what? I've been overcome. I've been beaten down, and it's game over. But it's never game over. It's never game over. And so, you know, I thought, that's true. I can lose, but not be a loser. And I've lost a lot. I've lost a lot of times. I've lost lots of things, you know. You know, it's one thing losing a game of rugby, but it's another thing maybe to lose your business. You know, it's one thing to lose, you know, a game of sports, but, you know, so loss impacts us on different levels of our life. And we've got to understand that because we lose, we're not losers, amen? And, you know, in Christ, we win. Anyway, we win. We win in Christ. And in Christ, we can recover our losses. And Pastor Bernie preaches on that a lot, actually. You know, pursue, overtake. You know, when Lot went off and did some silly stuff, Abraham, he went and sorted it out and got it all back. So we've got to remember that. But we need inner strength to overcome losses and to maintain a victorious heart and a victorious spirit. We need an inner strength. And that's that inner strength that determines our ability to resist temptation, persecution, seduction. You know, seduction is a powerful thing. It's kind of like temptation, but seduction is very subtle. You know, and anyone fishing here, I was going to say any of the guys fish. That's not right, because maybe there's some great, in fact, I know some great women fishermen. Anyone fish? So if you fish, maybe you've been out fishing, and one of the strategies we used to use when we were small is we used to go to the dam, and we used to prepare all of our bait. We used to get our brown bread, vanilla essence, eggs, and everything, mix it all together. But the night before we were due to have a big day of fishing, what we'd do is we'd paddle out in the kayak about 80 meters offshore, and we'd start to scatter bait around that area, one area, and we'd put a float in that area, so we knew you've always got to put the float, otherwise you forget where you've put the bait, then it's a complete catastrophe. So we put the float there, and then we would set all of our tackle up, we'd put our lines out, and then the next morning you'd come out, and because the bait that was there and it was scented, it would lure the fish to that area. And then you could cast in around about the float, and generally you would just like pull in all of these fish, you know. But the point was, make some area attractive. Make something attractive, and if you can make it attractive, then you'll lure something. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like a tactic that the enemy uses? He makes things attractive, and it's a seduction. And we need to have an inner strength to overcome that seduction. Amen. So we're developing that inner strength through this time of fasting. That's what we're doing through this time of, and we've got to be careful we don't get off concentrating and we think it's all about just fasting now for this time. Remember, we're praying and fasting. So don't forget, the prayer element is vital. In fact, the fasting is in vain if the prayer element isn't there. So we've got to remember that, amen? So we want to have strength in the Lord. So I believe that we can stay disciplined and do more of this year. I believe that this is going to be different to any other year. When you get to the end of this fast, the benefits and the fruits of it will be powerful, and that you'll make this a repeated thing. We will all do that this year. Amen. So we've got to get a long-term mentality about our spiritual growth. Because sometimes spiritual growth is a thing of fits and starts. It's like on again, off again. But we've got to get a long-term mentality about our spiritual growth. And so spiritual development and maturity is attained moment by moment. We need to keep it going. We've got to stay with it. Amen? You keep staying with it. Because one day, we'll need spiritual strength for a personal emergency. We'll need spiritual strength for personal emergencies. And that is where the rubber really meets the road. And I'd like, you know, we'd want every person in this place to be ready for any personal emergency. By the grace of God, you know, God keeps us, and he's our protector, and he's good to us. But personal emergencies come up, and we need to have strength for that. So crisis will come. I know in men's ministry, we read a lot of Ed Cole, and one of the things Ed Cole says, crisis is normal to life. So basically, just get used to crisis. Don't, if you think you can live your life without a crisis, then we're mistaken. Crisis is going to come. So spiritual maturity, whilst we're in the pleasant times, let's keep maturing so that when the difficult times come, we're ready for them. Amen. So, and the wonderful thing about it is that spiritual discipline, and this is a disciplined time. This 3 weeks is a disciplined time, but it not only produces fruit in our lives, but it affects every person you come into contact with. Yeah? You make the lives of the people you come into contact with better because you have disciplined yourself to do this and to observe this time. Amen? So on men's camp, we used an illustration about different biblical valleys or places that represented different situations in the lives of the people of that time. And the guys will be familiar with this because we spoke about it. So at that time, if you go to the Word, you'll see the names of all these different valleys and places around Jerusalem and different places near Jericho. Jesus himself walked through some of these valleys at times. And so, but they're all physical places that have a spiritual significance linked to a geographical place. That's the interesting thing. They all exist. You can get on a plane now and you can fly to Tel Aviv and you can go out there and you can visit these places. They're all still there, okay? There are a couple of valleys that are figurative valleys, like if the Valley of Decision or, you know, these, but there's physical places. And there's often a spiritual significance linked to a physical place. That's why God is so concerned about where you are, where you're going to, and where you've come from. All of these things have a very powerful spiritual significance. And so when we decide to move in our lives or to pursue a different direction, we've got to be 100% sure that geographically, physically, we're in the right place. I remember Pastor Tom Ingalls giving a testimony. They moved from South Africa, from Johannesburg to the USA. And he now has Sydney Life Church in Australia. But they persevered in, how can you persevere in California? It's like, it doesn't even make sense. You don't even have to persevere. It's apparently a beautiful place to live. But he said that there was always an issue. He knew there was something that wasn't right. And it was, God said to him, Tom, you're not even supposed to be here. You're supposed to be there. And he moved, and that was the difference maker. Amen. So some of these valleys, let me tell you, some of these valleys, the Valley of Eshkol, the Valley of the Kidron Valley, the Valley of Hinnom, these are all different valleys. But there's one valley, and it was called the Valley of Achor. And Achor means trouble. The Valley of Achor means trouble, all right? And in this particular context, the root cause of the trouble was a distraction, all right? So putting this in a bit of context, this story is about the fall of Jericho and a man called Achan, who's some Babylonian bling caught his attention, all right? Gold and silver, there was a beautiful garment there as well. And basically, he took this stuff when they were commanded not to, and he hid it and he buried it in his tent, okay? Everyone had been commanded, don't take a thing from the city. Everything was considered cursed. The only things that escaped that place were Rahab and her family. They were the only things that got out of there. Everything else was cursed, right? So there were grave consequences for this act, okay? But unfortunately, it wasn't just Achan that suffered the consequences. The whole of Israel suffered the consequences. And so in the next chapter, all right, you can read about this in Joshua 7:25, okay? In the next chapter, they go up against a city close to Jericho called Ai, all right? And this place, Ai, I think Joshua underestimates what it's going to take to get this place. And they send 3,000 men, because he thinks he'll defeat them easily. He sends 3,000 men up there, and that's basically not the case. They get kicked out, chased away, men are killed, and basically Joshua's like, well, what happened? And, you know, they're small. We sent 3,000 men there. They were basically whipped and sent, chased away. And he's like starting to rip his clothes and pour dust on his head. And he says, this is going to bring great shame on us. Because, you know, in the enemies of Israel, it's like, well, we've whipped you. Where's your God? How great is your God anyway? We've just defeated you. So what's the big deal? And this was a big thing. I think in Joshua's eyes, the main thing was, do you know what? What about the God's great name? What about the God's reputation? And I know that God will look out for his own reputation. But Joshua had this heart. He was like concerned about it. But basically the covenant had been breached. They'd breached the covenant. They'd taken things that they weren't supposed to. Achan had. And then the process to get it sorted out had to begin. And the process was, God tells Joshua to instruct the people to sanctify themselves. All right? You need to sanctify yourselves. In this particular story, he's telling them to separate themselves from the offender. He says, you need to separate yourself from the offender. Separate yourself from what is offending you. And this was going to be a major thing, okay? So have you ever thought, what is the source of my trouble? What's the source of my trouble? Because if you understand what the source of your trouble is, you can deal with it. Amen? You can deal with it if you know what the source is. So he's saying you need to sanctify yourself, purify yourself. And it's a simple strategy of the enemy. He puts things in our eyesight or whatever that attract us, that lure us, amen? They catch our eye. And these things are usually completely outside of the will of God, outside of God's timing. This is not the time or the place for you to be doing this. So basically, you know, and I could make a list of offenders right now. A4, double-sided, maybe another. You know what I mean? You could just make a list of the things that you need to separate yourself from, amen? And if you go to 1 Corinthians 7:35, and it says in 1 Corinthians 7:35, serve the Lord without distraction. In that particular context there, it's actually talking about relationships, marriage, etc., etc. But it says serve, and relationships, especially of the opposite sex, are usually one of the biggest distractions. Yeah? But it says serve the Lord without distraction because our flesh gets in the way. Amen? I want you to go to Galatians 5. Just go to Galatians 5 in your Bibles to verse, Galatians 5, verse 16. And it says there, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And it goes on there to say what the works of the flesh are, okay? These are all of adultery, fornication. It goes on through verse 21. And then in verse 22, it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. And in verse 24, it says, and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You know, this time of fasting and praying is going to be so much more enjoyable, beneficial, rewarding, and more fruitful if we do it, if we're walking with the Spirit, doing it. Amen? Because trying to do it like this guy with your schedule, you know, this is my fasting schedule, becomes legalistic. You struggle with it. And it's like, just walk with the Spirit. Just walk with the Spirit of God, and you won't have a problem. In fact, you won't feel the hunger. You won't feel it, and you won't feel the desire to go to those things that are troubling you, or those gadget man, you know? So whatever it is you've decided on this fast to put aside or to abstain from, just walk with the Spirit. He will help you through it. Amen? You know, at the start of a new year, a lot of people turn their attention to their flesh, but not to their hearts. So they focus on what on whatever their body situation is for the new year, but they carry over things in their heart issues. They carry over unforgiveness. They carry over bitterness. We carry all this stuff from one year into the other, and we forget about it. And because the common perception is, oh, it's a new year, new me. But it's a new me that you can see and not the me that's on the inside. And so you know, this year we've chosen as a church to also focus on the flesh, yeah? But our aims are different, okay? They're different aims. So I want to just say this morning, you cannot cast out your flesh. Like, I cannot cast Joe out of Joe. Joe is sitting in front of me physically. You know, our flesh is our human makeup, our body. You can't cast out your flesh. We can cast out, you can cast out a demon, you can cast out a spirit, you can cast, but you can't cast out your flesh. Or does everyone agree with that? We're this is what we've got. Amen. You can't cast out our flesh. And remember what we just said, what's the source of our trouble? Many times it's our carnal nature that's the source of our trouble. So Jesus said that if our eye offends us, then better remove it than let it cause us to miss eternity. I've often thought about this over the years. I'm like, you know, if I'm struggling in this area, what is the most extreme thing I can do to get this out of my life? And you can do some pretty extreme things. In fact, in the 3rd century, there was a guy who read in the Word regarding becoming a eunuch, who took that literally. And obviously his life changed after that. So we've got to understand what the Word is saying to us, okay? So in Mark chapter 9, verse 42, just go there to Mark chapter 9, verse 42. It says, "But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe and trust in me to stumble, that is to sin or lose faith, this is the Amplified version, by the way, it would be better for him if a heavy millstone, one requiring a donkey's strength to turn it, were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble and sin, cut it off." That is, remove yourself from the source of temptation. It is better for you to enter life crippled than to have two hands and go into hell and its unquenchable fire. Strong stuff. If your foot causes you to stumble and sin, cut it off. That is, remove yourself from the source of temptation. It would be better for you to enter life lame than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. Strong stuff. If your eye causes you to stumble and sin, throw it out. That is, remove yourself from the source of temptation. It would be better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell. I mean, what a passage of scripture, you know? What a passage. But I believe that what Jesus was saying here is, pursue and chase after my kingdom above anything and everything else. Go after it. So he's using a figure of speech to get his message across here. And Jesus was supreme at parables, communicating. Whenever he spoke, it was like communications, you know, it's like he just had it with people. He could communicate so well. And so he's using what they call a hyperbole here in this sense, okay? But the thing is, he's using parts of our body that are precious to us. How precious is your eye? I know there's other people here that do have sight issues, but I kind of almost lost all the sight in my left eye, and I'm relying on my sight in my right eye, which I'm praying will stay strong until the day I have to go, because I want, it's so precious. How precious are your hands? I mean, if I asked you that, Jeremy, you'd be like, well, if I didn't have them, I couldn't make melody in my heart to the Lord. Couldn't do that. If I asked Joe, how precious are your feet? Well, without them, I couldn't keep fit. So he's using all of these things he's using these very precious aspects of our body for a reason. Amen? He's saying, recognize the value of eternal things. Don't be derailed by the temporary and the physical distractions. You know, obviously just removing your eye or removing your foot's not going to change your heart. Is it? You see, God, the issue is always the heart, but he's using here eye, foot, hand. So why is he doing that? You know, if you remove your eye or you have to amputate your foot, it makes no difference to your heart, because the surgery that Jesus is prescribing to us here, it's a spiritual thing, not a physical thing. Amen. And what is one of the things we struggle most with at this time when we're when we've decided to fast? We struggle with the physical thing, with the physical side of things, for the spiritual good. So there's a massive battle in both the spiritual and the physical at this time. And hopefully this is just putting some things in perspective for you to give you some encouragement. You know, we've got to understand God's word, and we need the Holy Spirit's help to do it. Otherwise, this passage, you know, yeah, I don't want to see people walking into church with minus, you know, body parts. You know what I mean? It's like, no, we need to understand it. And 2 Timothy tells us we need to study and stand approved before God. So we need to understand, we need to study God's word and understand it. Amen? So Charles, there was a guy called Charles Bridges, and he said, study may make a biblical scholar, but prayer puts the heart under heavenly teaching and forms a wise and spiritual Christian. Study will make you a great Bible student. But prayer and putting the other things into motion is going to mature you. Amen. And so the heart is the main thing here. And if you go to, if you look at, this isn't on the list, guys, but in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says there, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. It's the most important thing. It's even more important than your spouse, than your family, than your business. It's more important than that. But when you guard it, all of those things get the benefit of you guarding your heart. You see? So it's that's good. Amen. So we just got to remember, this is a time of testing in many ways in your heart too. And he says, eyes, feet, hands, precious thing. Is food precious to anyone here? So, does that occupy a precious place in your life? If it does, and it's out of balance, that's going to have a spiritual impact on us. Amen? I found this verse in Proverbs chapter 25, 16. Proverbs 25, 16, it says, have you found honey? Okay, not your honey, not your beloved. Have you found honey? Eat only as much as you need, lest you be filled with it and vomit. And in the Amplified, it goes a step further and it says, have you found, in brackets, pleasure sweet like honey? Eat only as much as you need. Otherwise, being filled excessively, you vomit it. Amen? You know, when it comes to what we consume, it can either come in through our eyes, our ears, or our mouth. Amen? These are the gateways into our being. And so we can take literal steps to control that. Do you believe that? Yes. We can take literal steps to control that. Do you want, we need the victory. We want the victory. Amen. Let me just read this quickly. In John 17, it says there in verse 2, I'll read it from verse 1. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, okay? That he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. Amen? It's saying here that Jesus has authority over all flesh, referring to mankind, okay? Referring to humans, referring to us. He has, listen, don't be mistaken. Jesus has total authority in this world. He has authority over all flesh. He has power in and over the world of spirits. The unseen realm and the unseen world are subject to him. Amen. They're subject to him. And you can read it in Genesis chapter 6, 3. Jesus has authority over mankind, considered corrupt and fallen then that's why we're called flesh, because we were corrupted and we fell. If we weren't fleshly, we wouldn't have needed Jesus. If we didn't have our carnal body to deal with, we wouldn't have needed a redeemer. But because of the fall, and because we were corrupted and we became carnal, we need Jesus. Amen? We need Jesus. And so, you know, everything, he has the power to bind and loose. He has the power to acquit us or condemn us. He has the power to forgive or not. And, you know, he's our mediator. Amen? And he has power over everyone, those that know him not, okay, or don't obey his gospel, he still has power over them. Who Jesus doesn't rule over, he overrules. It says to me that it doesn't matter. Jesus is over everything. And at the end of time, he is over everything, ultimately. Amen? And so once man and woman had been corrupted, the state of purity that we're created in was given up. So we know that. And it's the origins of that carnality. That's the reason why we need Jesus in our life. Amen. And so we know we're going to have a battle. But it's interesting, in Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, the Lord says, "My spirit will not strive with man forever, for he's flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And so before the time of Noah, there was all of these guys living super long lives. And then all of a sudden, something changed. And I was wondering why that was, you know. So some people, obviously, it's exceptional to live to 120. My gran is 90 today. We're going to her birthday after this. We're going to Granny McLaughlin's 90th birthday. But, you know, Jesus rules over everything and he'll overrule. Is it possible for us, if we cannot cast out our flesh, can we rule over our flesh? Or can we overrule our flesh? That's a question for you today. If we can't cast it out, can we rule over it? Do you think you're subject to it and it's the end of the story? We're just going to struggle with it. Well, I want to go to Romans 13, 14. We can rule over our flesh. Romans 13, 14, it's not in the list, guys. Let me see if I can. Let me read this quickly. Romans 13, 14, it says, "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." Yeah? Put on the new man. So we can put on a new man. Yeah? If you go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, it says there, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So we can actually put on a new man. So we deal with these issues of the flesh, but we can put on a new man. But before we put on Jesus, you've heard about being clothed in righteousness. Yeah. Before we put on Jesus, we have to undress, as it were. You know, I was a mechanic. So, you know, it's like me with my dirty overall smelling of diesel covered in oil. And then I'm called to a meeting with the general manager down in the offices. So I leave my overalls on and I put my suit on over my overalls. It's crazy. It's nuts. I'm going to go down there. He's going to be like, "What's that smell?" But no, I wouldn't do that. If I was called to a meeting, I would get myself cleaned up. I would get out of my overalls and I would put on my suit. And then I'd go, do you know what I'm saying? So I'd have to displace what I had on before I could go and dress for the occasion. And I believe that the message here this morning is that we can overcome the flesh. We can dress for the occasion. We can put off the old man. We can put off those things and we can be clothed in righteousness. Amen? You know, if you're clothed, earthly clothes influence people in the earth. But if you clothe yourself in Jesus Christ, put on Jesus, put on the new man, you influence heaven and earth. So if we just focus on, you know, our earthly situation, we're never going to influence anyone any further than that. But once we start to put on the new man, we begin to influence heaven and earth. We begin to have impact in the supernatural realm. Amen. Amen. So, you know, going back to Genesis 6:3, and I'm just going to finish with this. God's saying, I'm giving you 120 years. I'm not going to strive with your flesh always. That's what the verse says. I'm not going to keep on, as another word for striving is abiding with. I'm not going to put up with you forever. So there's a natural, although we have this natural inclination to fulfill the lusts of the flesh, the Holy Spirit's involved, and there comes a point whereby the Holy Spirit will withdraw. If once he can no longer tolerate the fact that we're not dealing with the flesh, you understand that? And so there's a space there, that 120 years or whatever it is that God gives us, that is a space to repent and reform our lives. That's what we've got. And we've got to think about that when we look to other people, when we want to reach other people. We've got to remember God has given us all a time, and we've got to do this work in this time. Amen? We've got to make up our minds to accept or reject him in that space of time. And we've got to do the same with others. We've got to give them the opportunity to hear about Jesus, accept or reject him in that space of time. Do you agree with that? So I'm going to finish off with this. This is just going to be an encouragement to you. You can overcome. I'm telling you that now. You are victors. You are winners. You are, every one of you are a winner. And you know, you can say it is well with my soul. You know, as you get older, the thing I love to be able to do is say, it is well with my soul. You know, it's like, it is well. I want things to be well. So I'm going to read this to finish off in 2 Peter 1. In 2 Peter 1, verse 1, talks about Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That's great news, guys. That's great news. You've escaped the corruption that is in the world. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. That's so encouraging that we are partakers of his divine nature. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Remember to visit our website, www.bridge-church.com, and connect with us via Facebook and Twitter.